is going to come. It wasn't the builder's fault, it wasn't the planner's fault. It's just something you see when it's in 3D, not in a two-dimensional plan. So you can actually walk through and see things as they're going to be and say, we should have done this, we didn't see it, and that's why it won't be the issue.
And so, I mean, like the airport didn't know that this big concrete thing was there to warn the
I just
designers.
used that as an example, fictitious example.
Oh, that was fictitious.
Yeah, I was just using that as an example of why that could happen.
Okay.
Thanks.
So,
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Just seems a little bit irresponsible that the airport, didn't they come out and inspect the property to in order to design something?
So
And
I'll talk about one of the change orders. One of the change orders that we're working on right now is our emergency power. We have to have the facility open during emergencies. Okay. What's that?
especially.
Especially during emergencies. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to upgrade the panel because the design shows that there's an emergency panel to supply power to the building. But what I would like to do is I would like to increase that panel to bring more circuits in to have more of the building under the emergency power. Those are the kind of change orders that I'm trying to do. While it's going to benefit the building, the employees, it's for me, it's safety. It's 100% safety. If this airport has to mobilize and have a point of distribution for emergency services, we need to have lights on, we need to have hot water, we need to have heat, and we need to have air conditioning to facilitate a emergency. And so while the panel I was looking at is small, I want to be able to increase it. So those are the kind of change orders I'm looking at.
So the original panel wasn't sufficient.
Correct.
Well,
It was
sufficient
sufficient.
for the minimum stay.
Yeah.
He's trying to make it with more.
Yeah.
There's a change order of opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, on the
Because
picture.
once we put the concrete down, once we do all the underground work, if I put concrete down now,
Yeah.
we're not doing it after. So while it's open, I need, because I've been here long enough, 25 plus years, I have to look at worst case scenario and what is it going to provide the community. So upgrading an electrical panel, I don't think is a misuse of funds. It is,
And it was thought of beforehand.
there was, it was, yes,
Oh.
but not enough that I
Not
think,
enough. Okay.
yeah.
In your estimation.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Further questions from the board?
Yeah.
Further, right to launch?
Okay, I'm just trying to wrap my head around all this because you went really fast. So 2.9 million use of unrestricted funds. That is money that we have earned as an airport because of tightening up our expenses and doing well on some of our.
Correct, correct. As a reflection of a positive budget addition to reserve, we funded back to the first one. We funded all these required buckets and then some. And when we have that money, we have it invested in different vehicles, earning interest, making more money to help fund future things such as this. But yeah, so that 2.9 million is a reflection of previous year's positive initiatives.
Okay. And then you go back to the other one that had the 812,000. Okay, the 812,000 is capital improvement reserves.
So yes, that would be like a proposed, authorization to use from reserves, drawing down this line 12. So right now we have a
we have
maintained
2,000
target of two,
two million.
800 from him.
Yeah.
And that 2,000 is there for,
it's 2 million.
or sorry,
Yeah.
2 million. What did I say? 2,000. That 2 million is there for a capital improvement project like the runway research?
So to like reference the board's policy directly, because I think that's the best way to address that. The CIP reserve, it's there on CIP line one. Funds dedicated to district CIP projects identified in our strategic plan and capital expenditure plan budget. The section above, and this is straight, this is the district adopted reserve policy. Further up above, it says CIP reserves for system rehab, long-term replacement, expansion, components, cash on hand for expansion, and new projects, which all sort of encompass this project that we're discussing.
Okay, so what are some examples of some other things that can come out of that book?
So generally, most capital we plan for in our budget. If we're going to replace trucks, buy a new snowplow, do a building improvement, Ryan builds it into the capital budget. We fund it with the regular money we earn all year. This money is set aside for when something unforeseen happens. Right, right.
So like, when's the last time we've gotten dry out of that budget?
We haven't. Because we have run such a tight budget, and I'm very cautious with our reserves, or I'm sorry, with our revenue, and I'm pretty aggressive on our expenses. We've never had to dip into this. We've always been able to pay for all of our capital improvement projects, all of our vehicle replacements through our general fund. And also put money in reserves. And also, you know, for the public, some of the directors that were here when we first started this project, we went into this saying that we weren't going to go to the public for any additional funds. We're paying for this out of our own pocket, money that we've saved up. Yes, we were trying to get some funding from Congressman Obernolte, but we're not going into the taxpayers' pockets and asking for bonds and measures and additional funds. We knew we were going to have to deal with this building in some manner. And we took it upon ourselves that it was our responsibility to fund this. And that was the committee that was on that. Jack, you were on that. Rick, you were on that. So I think to me, that is what's really important here. Yeah, we have a shortfall, but again, we're not going to the community asking for more money, which is a standard procedure for government agencies. This is our problem. We're fixing it.
So that's a $2 million rainy day fund, and we are having a little bit of a rainy day, and we're dipping.
Yep. And And I can tell you, with the way that we've developed our budget over the last year or two, I mean, we could easily pay that back. If things stay status quo, we could easily pay it back in 2 years, $800,000, maybe even by 1 year. So we have this reserve policy in place, one for the rainy day fund, one for emergencies, whatever it is. But we are in that position right now where we need to potentially grab some of this money. And then, you know, on top of that, the $2.9 million over and above our rainy day fund, our reserve policy. So this district has done a dang good job to be where we are today. Because I can tell you, when I first started working here, we had no reserve. So 25 years, we've been able to put money away every year. So kudos to you guys for and the previous board members.
And staff. So we would have bought the supply, basically we would have been in this boat if the Obernolte thing was never even a possibility, but we would have been living the same thing.
Yep.
The only difference is we got all signed.
Right.
Yep. And look, things happen, you know.
Sure.
I'm not blaming Congressman Obernolte at all. I know he feels bad about it, but unfortunately it's not his decision. It was way higher level than that. But again, because of our efforts over the last quite a few years, that's why we can do this.
Well, we need on this one.
So again, not legal counsel, so I can't give you a definite answer on this. From my reading of the policy, it doesn't appear the written reserve policy doesn't exactly define exactly what action the board would need to take. As I say, at kind of a takeaway might be, Ryan, that this is in front of you, but kind of got some consensus on it. It could maybe be brought back in a future month, but if you consult with legal as far as what the proper action is, because I don't want to recommend it and be incorrect. So it is generally, I don't know if it needs to be by resolution or not. It's more my thing. So I don't want to tell you one way and be wrong.
Yeah. And I would say likely we would do a resolution, because we do have a resolution adopting the reserve policy. This would just allow us to allocate certain funds from the CIP reserve, CIP one, for the terminal building.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Item 10, manager's report, packet pages 95 and 102.
All right. So first off, we'll start off with the fire. I'm going to just do kind of a little verbal thing and then the rest of the packet. So the fire was on Monday, started. We had a power outage. So that kind of made things a little bit difficult, but we essentially we're down on staff right now. We have some employees that are out. So Monday we had the power outage. We had the fire that popped off. We had about 8 helicopters total. I think we pumped around 5,000 gallons that day. So supporting the fire, which went well, no issues. Currently we have 3 helicopters out there. TFR is going to be going away this evening at 8 o'clock. So that should be gone. The helicopters will be in place till the 18th. We'll have 1 big sky crane, 2 smaller helicopters. They'll be on site until the 18th, and then they'll be gone and we'll be back to normal. As you saw, we have the grant before us. So we're looking at getting that grant executed in the next day or two with my program manager. We'll have that next grant to you guys next month for the AWOS. Figure out when we'll be able to get those started. Excuse me. Terminal building update. We're tentatively scheduled for the 21st for concrete pour. So right now we're finishing up the rebar. We'll have a deputy inspector out to make sure that the layout is proper. We have some of the electrical contractors here finalizing some of the conduits for our emergency power. So far, everything, I mean, of course, when you're dealing with the size of a project, we're going to have little hiccups, but I've been on the site from 6 to 2:30, pretty much 5 days a week. We deal with the issues accordingly. And, you know, once we know for sure that we're going to have the pour on the 21st, definitely reach out to you guys to see if you guys want to see it and be and watch it. I definitely will reach out to the Grizzly, because I think it's a huge milestone. I think it's very exciting. It's been a lot of work to get where we are today. Steve, huh?
Yeah.
So it's a big milestone. I think it's going to be, we have steel. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of moving parts. So managing the construction takes a lot of time, a lot of emails, a lot of back and forth, and keeping on track. Let's see here. Attended the Mountain Mutual Aid meeting yesterday. Again, we had most of all of the agencies there. We're going to do a round table probably in the next few months. Really good. We had a presentation by Reggie Lampson, who is the manager of the DWP. They're building a new facility themselves. They're doing about 13 or 14,000 square foot facility, $18 million. So we're not far off from where we are, you know, where we are. They're looking at funding. Their building went way over from where they expected it to be. So they're looking at additional funding through USDA, and they built in contingencies. And unfortunately, it's the sign of the times. It's where we are, the location, not having a lot of contractors that are able to do this type of work locally. You have to find contractors off the hill. So I believe their project went up $4 million from what they anticipated to what the actual bid came in at. So, yeah. So, otherwise, operational wise, for the month of May, 999 operations. Pretty cool little system. This 1200 Arrow is continuing to progress and give more data for us as end users. And then the month of June, 1,277 operations. And just real quick, I looked at the operations before I came in here. Just for the month of August, we're at 1,770 operations. So in one day, we had 340 operations. And that was Monday. So we provided fuel for them. I stayed late on Monday night, and we did fueling through the night because they have nighttime helicopters. So we fueled them every 2 hours. I let the staff go home at 6 because it was a pretty hefty day of fueling. So I stayed late and did that for them. So they did a full night of fueling until I did a full night of fueling until their equipment arrived. So any questions about my... What's that? Yeah. Good. What are those Murphy beds?
Yeah.
So this is the first time I've seen these cool charts. I guess that's the what we get from ADS-B.
That is correct. Yeah. So this is all driven by ADS-B.
We're going to know where I come from. So we could actually tell how people enter the valley and enter the pattern.
Yes.
If you wanted to.
So this program I've used for accident investigations. It reports, I can pull a report on any airplane that flies into the valley that has ADS-B, and it gives me their lat and long, altitude, airspeed, and communication every second. So with some of the accidents that we've had, we've used this, we've given this information to the NTSB for them to do their investigations. And so we were the first. I went to a seminar up in Napa, and I got a 6-month free trial to see how it would work. And it's incredible. And so we've been about 2 years now, this has been on site. And like I said, we were the first in Southern California, and most airports have it now. It's an incredible tool. Searching for airplanes when we get calls from flight service and SoCal approach, again, accident investigation, it's been very, very beneficial.
And is it the fee for this thing? Is it a one-time fee? Or
it's a yearly fee.
Doesn't matter how many the operations have.
It's the average of the 12-month, and it's based on $1 per operation. So average, we're averaging around $1,200 a year. So we have a $1,700 operation for the month of August, but we may have a $300 in the month of December because of weather. So.
Okay. Hey.
public comments or questions? Okay, item number 11, committee reports. Item 12, director's comments. Director Hedden,
we can just move on.
I'll go first. Yes. Credits. First of all, I commend staff for what they've gone through with the fire and all the extra work. I'm sure you were just inundated with, and especially you, Ryan, with your bunk bed being there and spending the night. I don't think you guys or this airport gives enough recognition. And this idea came to me just recently, right? I'm drawing a blank on where I saw it, but where they were talking about the fire and the tremendous efforts, you know, by the fire department, and kudos to them, blah, blah, blah. And I believe it was the Facebook group of four friends of Big Bear Department, of Big Bear Fire Department. And they do these things where they bring to the community's attention, you know, the efforts that fire department's doing. And I know to some degree that we kind of like to lay low and stay on the radar as much as we can on certain things, but I'm trying to find a way where we can promote to the community the efforts that, well, number one, the service of the airport to the community, what it stands for and what it offers to the community, and all of the things that we do for the community. And you brought that up in one of your comments earlier, Ryan. Of all the landings that take place, what happened during the fire, especially, you know, the numbers when it comes to AirMed and the amount of flights that come in and out of this airport. And I think, you know, that ties in with what you said too, Wes, about the tremendous value, you know, of this airport to the community. I'd like to figure out a way that we can get on board with what the fire department is doing and tooting our own horn in some way. Because
it's a lot of work.
You guys deserve it. Yeah. This airport.
I don't think people understand, like, not only when the fire pops off, but the amount of resources that come, managing those resources, fueling those resources, doing land use agreements, meeting with people, moving helicopters, logistically laying it out, closing ramps to get moving airplanes, you know, so it's a lot of moving parts, you know, and
I don't think the community needs to get into the minutiae and understand every aspect of that, but certainly the highlights to really understand what this airport does for the community and
And another public service is when the Forest Service comes or Cal Fire and these helicopters, we do it as a community service. We don't charge them. We don't charge them a flowage fee. We do it because I love this community. I grew up here my entire life. And for us, this is a way that we're able to give back. If this airport wasn't here, we wouldn't be able to facilitate that type of operation. The closest airport would be Redlands or San Bernardino. God forbid it gets clouds down there and they get locked down. That's what happened with the Line fire last year. That's why it blew up the way it did. They didn't bring the helicopters here and they got trapped down there. So the asset of the airport to this community, not only for natural disaster, but for, you know, flying in medical supplies or, you know, troops for snow removal. It's huge. It's a big deal. So there needs to be a way that we, you know, toot our own horn, as you would say.
I to somehow figure out a way whether the board can come up with something, or if we can direct you to come up with some kind of a. I needed to express that.
Dovetail off that. I totally appreciate that. And we've always been in public outreach, and sometimes it slows down a little bit. And I think we do need to circle back, like we had several years back when Russell was the manager, have an airport open house load. We use that and fight the fire department. We definitely need it. However, the reason we've gotten off that a little bit was because these people, for the last several years, every minute they walk through that door, they'll have tasks saturated from sun up to sun down. So I think we will definitely.
I'd rather just give them a raise so that doesn't hold it anymore.
And if we do it, you know, like I know Medicare wants to do public outreach. But if we load them up, ultimately, they got to do all of it. So I think we kind of just got to definitely major placeholder. But I think we got to deal with that. Brian tells us we don't have time to grow. We can conserve the back of that. We're absolutely. What?
I'm done. All right. Director List.
I don't go. I was thinking about that, and I have been on this for years, trying to get more of us out there in the community to present our airport. I just was sitting here thinking, what would it take to get a professional PowerPoint or movie or documentary to come in here and do it so it's done professionally and there are no mistakes. Like you're concerned about us delivering an improper message to the community. I know that was your hesitation.
Yeah.
But if we got somebody and you approved it or our board approved it and it was done correctly, couldn't we disseminate that throughout the community some way?
Yeah, I mean, we're a small staff, right? We're very small. So while I have some ideas for public outreach, I think it would be, if you guys want to go down that road and we can have that discussion at a later date, but hiring a professional, somebody who does public outreach, Sixel, they did that. It takes the burden off of us. They're professionals at it. They can come to you and say, this is what we think the airport should do. But you know,
still takes you in the building.
Yeah. We have a lot of work. I mean, we have the building that is a priority, you know. So we'll circle back. I mean, you tell me when you guys want to do it and how you guys want to do it. I guess for me, again, it's not in the budget this year. So if you guys want to do it, that's something we maybe talk about next budget cycle. I know we just started it. But I think it's a topic that we can discuss.
Thank you.
Vice President. Director Prowse. Comments to the public
company. Well, okay, I'll just echo the same thing. There is this quote by some former leader of FEMA about the value of an airport and that there are all kinds of things you can use the airport for. There's nothing that really replaces it. And I think we said the average cost and their tax each year for the airport somewhere in the $50 range. That's the cheapest fire insurance for the ocean. And that's kind of the most important. You got to be on the search for where it's in. When there's a fire, you can see what's being done, what value you're getting for that $50, $60 tax rate. And other than that, I just want to thank the director for this opportunity.
Well, we're back. Thank you.
We're glad you're back.
Thanks so much.
I like that. $50 a year is best. It's a fire insurance.
So every year I do an actuarial. We do that, and I thought I had it in my packet and I was going to be able to give you those numbers. But every year we do an actuarial to tell the public how much it costs on their tax roll. It shows single homeowners and commercial properties, and it's around $50 or $60.
$64. Just say thanks again. You guys are great. Such a fine job. I also wanted to thank the Pilot Association Zach for having a speaker that was really interesting to pilots, and I love that we have that power.
That's not
cool. But that
I gave a presentation. I get it. I get it.
I think that the Pilots Association serving a nice function to be able to educate us.
A little last word, reiterating everything that everybody said up here, full agreement. We want to promote the staff. We're working your tails off. I know how saturated you are. Bill Jones, that works especially in times of fires, and these are unexpected things that try to take your eye off the ball. Somehow we got something good at length, so. Thank you, and every time. And thank the public for coming. Scott, thank you so much for your presentation. Jack, it's always good to be here. Great meeting last night. Rick, great to see you. And Susan, what's your last name again? I couldn't hear something.
S-U-T-T-O.
Oh, okay. It's
air conditioner.
Thanks for coming. Appreciate it. Good to see you. Appreciate all you guys coming. That's about it on direct comments. Oh, one more. Congratulations, Bill, Vice President.
Thank you. I'll do a big job.
Item 13, proposal of future agenda items.
I think the only thing that we'll probably have before you next month is going to be the AWAS grant. And we'd have to look to see if there's any kind of normal stuff that we do in September.
How long does it take for an AWAS to get installed?
Probably a month, but you got to acquire the equipment. That's the hard part. So I just also want to let you guys know that we did have some technical difficulties on the recording. So there's going to be a gap in the recording that we provide to the public on our website. So.
Okay. Item 14, next meeting date, the Wednesday, September 10th, 2025, 4 p.m. Special Board of Directors meeting. Temporary building, West Wing, right here. It's not special, right?
Yeah, if I can, that's definitely a typo. I didn't catch that before publishing. It's the regular Board of Directors meeting, so. September 10th.
See you then. 15, we'll adjourn today's meeting at. Where plus
5:45.
Thanks everybody for coming.
Thank you.
Try to stay more.